This is Liz.
And this is Sharon.
And you're listening to Unrefined She,
the well-being podcast for women like you who want to explore your health, claim your space, question norms, and live your best lives. Hosted weekly by entrepreneurs and women's health experts, Liz Winters and Sharon Bailey.
As always, please keep in mind that the information shared on this podcast is for general purposes only and should not be considered medical advice. And now, let's dive in.
Hey, she's, I think we can all agree there's nothing else that can quickly send your day sideways than a visit from the hangry monster. I learned pretty quickly during pregnancy and now as a parent to tiny, hungry, hungry humans that having snacks on hand is key to everyone's sanity and survival. And while my snack of choice is typically fresh food, it's not easy or convenient when I'm on the go. And okay, to be honest, I've found one too many squished bananas or hard-boiled eggs at the bottom of my purse than I care to admit. Which is why I love the grass-fed beef sticks from Paleo Valley. I stash these protein-rich snacks in my purse and the diaper bag, so I'm always prepared. Unlike other meat sticks, Paleo Valley beef sticks contain 100% grass-fed and finished beef from American farmers who practice rotational grazing, which is better for you and better for the planet. 100% grass-fed beef contains more B vitamins, calcium, magnesium, potassium, zinc, phosphorus, beta-carotene, and iron than grain-fed beef. And it has important fat-soluble vitamins that can protect against cardiovascular disease. It's a snack I feel good about eating and sharing with my kiddos. So if you're looking to level up your snack game, head over to paleovalley.com and enter the code UNREFINED15 at checkout to save 15% on your next order. That's paleovalley.com with code UNREFINED15.
Hey, she's. Welcome back to the show. This is Sharon. So a few months ago, back in the winter time, I started experiencing perimenopause symptoms and went to our good friend Instagram to start looking for people who were teaching about perimenopause and menopause because I literally had no idea what I was dealing with. And I found Dr. Joyelle Ballard and absolutely immediately fell in love with the work that she was doing and just who she is. I mean, she really is pure joy. So found Dr. Joyelle, reached out to her, asked her to come onto the show, and she said yes, which I was so thrilled. And so today's episode is an interview I did with her back in March. And she really is just such a powerhouse woman. She literally wrote the book on menopause and perimenopause. Let me just tell you a little bit about Dr. Joyelle. So Dr. Joyelle Ballard is a board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist and perimenopause health coach who encourages women to take a proactive approach to their health. She is deeply passionate about educating and empowering women to initiate and maintain a healthy lifestyle, especially while aging. She is the best-selling author of Loving Me, Myself, and Her Through Perimenopause and Beyond, which is a self-affirming guide that enlightens, encourages, and empowers women approaching the menopausal transition. She is the host of the Midlife-ish Slay Menopause Through Mindful Living podcast. And Dr. Ballard is a speaker who aims to provide a platform for women in the community to become educated and invigorated about facing different aspects of their health. She was born and raised in Prince George's County, Maryland, and received her Bachelor of Science in Psychology from Syracuse University. She obtained her medical degree from the State University of New York at Buffalo, and her residency training in obstetrics and gynecology was completed at Sinai Hospital in Baltimore, where she was appointed the administrative chief resident and subsequently received the attending award. Since finishing her training, she has been in private practice for 13 years in Annapolis, Maryland. She shares her expertise in preventative health, contraceptive management, sexual health, perimenopause, and menopause. She is certified by the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, and she is a member of the North American Menopause Society and a certified menopause practitioner. She enthusiastically encourages women to adopt simple integrative strategies to transform their mindset for healthy aging and healthy living from the inside out as they encounter different stages of womanhood. She is married with 3 children and she enjoys traveling and spending time with her family in addition to participating in school and community activities. Look, this conversation was so powerful, and I'm really excited to share it with you. I hope you enjoy. And without further ado, Dr. Joy L. Ballard. Okay, welcome to the show, Dr. Joy L. Ballard. I'm so honored to have you on our show today. How are you doing?
I am good, Sharon. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Yes, me too. Like, I'm getting all the feels. I'm like, yes, I've been really excited. Like, when I reached out to you to ask you to be on the show and you're like, yes, I was like, oh, really? Okay. Let's do it.
All right. Yes.
So it's so good to have you here. Yeah. How are you today? I mean, this has been such a like crazy year. I want to check in. How are you doing? How's it going?
Yes, you are so right. It's been crazy, right? And I have to admit, like, yeah, I've been a little crazy. I've really made a big transition in my career in the sense that I actually took a leave of absence from my practice to be a full-time homeschooling teacher.
What?
To my 3 kids. Yes. Yes. So that has been my life.
Oh my God. I didn't realize that. Wow.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Yes. Yes. So, yeah. So that, you know, it's funny. Like, he was like, how is it going? Like, do you still have hair? I didn't pull out all of my hair. I actually have more. And it actually has not been that bad. Like, I really handled it very well. I'm really surprised myself.
No doubt. I have no doubt. Oh my gosh. Wow. Yes. So what? How? Tell me how old your kids are.
So I have 2 girls that are 10 and 8, and then my boy will be 6 in June.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. So I am teaching kindergarten, 2nd grade, and 4th grade.
Dang. That's big. That's big. Yeah. My background is in education, and like I've had experience teaching like each one of those levels. I mean, that's a big difference.
Yes. Yes. Tell me about it.
You're like preaching the choir. Man, wow. Okay. Yes. So this morning on Instagram, I saw you and your girls working out and I was like, yes. Oh my gosh. I cannot wait till like, I have 1 kid and I'm like, we do like bike rides and stuff like that. But, you know, I can't like go like do my bar practice or yoga practice and have him come with me on it, you know? And I'm like, I can't wait for
How
that.
Old
That's
going
to be awesome. He's 4 and a half.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yes.
I know.
Yes,
he's so cute. It's such a cute age.
Also, we got to keep him involved. We got to keep him engaged and involved.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Definitely. We do have dance parties. Like, I'll just put on an album and we'll just like dance it out, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. We have lots of those.
Yeah. You got to.
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay. Wow. And so, but end in sight, right? Are they going to go back to school starting next year?
That's the plan for the fall. So yes, we applied for a private school for to go back in the fall. So yeah, so that's the plan.
Okay.
So hopefully 2021 be like, okay, I think we got it together and we can send our kids back to school.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Come on, 2021, get it together.
Exactly. Like, please.
I know, right? Like, can we have like a nondescript year where there's just like nothing big happened? That's
right,
okay.
You know? Exactly. Just really boring, like, you know.
Super
like,
basic. You know. Yeah. Yes, I feel you. Yeah, that's our plan too. Fingers crossed. It seems like it's going in that direction. All of our schools are open, except for his preschool isn't open, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, kindergarten, he is so excited about kindergarten too. He's like, especially as an only child and like living in rural Colorado, like we don't have the neighborhood kids, you right. know? And he's right, just like, right. where are kids?
Where are the kids? Where yes. are the kids? And my son, he's like, where are the boys? Like,
oh yeah, I know, bet.
Because my husband goes out to work and he's like the only boy here. He's like, mommy, I miss my pre-K friends, my pre-K boyfriends.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know.
Oh, honey. Yes. I feel that so bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I kind of feel that too. I'm like, where are my girls? know? Like, I'm ready for like sushi night. I'm ready for yes. like coffee, coffee right, dates.
Exactly. Yes. I know. So hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Mm. Well, let me ask you, here's our lovely intro icebreaker question. What is cooking in your kitchen these days?
Cooking in my kitchen. So I have to admit, I don't really like to cook in the actual kitchen.
Okay.
To be yes. honest, uh-huh. but in my business kitchen, mm-hmm. I'm actually cooking up a online group coaching program so I can create menopause moguls. Okay.
Menopause moguls
to harness the power of the pause.
Yes.
So essentially, I am empowering professional women over 40 to eliminate these perimenopausal symptoms without feeling stuck and overwhelmed with simple integrative strategies so they can aspire to be the CEO of their own business and their life. That's what I'm cooking up today.
Spoken like a boss. Oh, that's exciting. Okay, I want to hear so much. Yes, but actually, yes. just tell us more about it. I'm like, we're there. Tell us more about that.
I'm so excited. So it's a 7-week like group coaching where I actually meet with a small group of women every week. And then some one-on-one coaching also, just kind of, you know, have more clarity, like dig into, you know, each woman's symptoms and what they're experiencing and really look into nutrition aspects, exercise, self-care, kind of bringing that all together in order for them to actually incorporate this in their daily routine so they can, like I said, eliminate or even minimize these symptoms so they can, you know, be the boss that they are.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh
yes.
My gosh. This is why I've invited you on the show. I mean, this is one of the main, like many, many reasons I invited you on the show. Cause I was like, yes, I love what you're doing. Especially as an entrepreneur, a mompreneur, you know, the one woman CEO show over here who's yes. like, I've been utilizing my cycle for my business productivity for years now. And now it's changing. In perimenopause, and I'm just like, and I'm only 38, like I just turned 38, and it's like really, I had like my first bout of night sweats, and I was like, what the hell are these?
right?
Oh my God, I was like, oh, and I listened to your podcast, and you were talking about night sweats, and I was just like, oh, okay.
Yes, exactly.
But it's like my periods are getting shorter. Or my periods are actually getting longer, but the cycle in itself is getting shorter, and so I'm just like, I'm either just like bleeding or pissed all the time. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yep, that like, sums it up.
Yes. And I'm like, how am I supposed to run my business like this? You know, I'm like walking through a right. field of brain fog and then just, yeah. Yes. So I yes. love what you're doing. I think that is going to help so many people. Yes.
Yes. I mean, right. I mean, that's what I, you know, I really want to, number one, normalize the conversation because we don't talk about it enough, right?
That's right.
Like, yes. You know, like mm-hmm. people, like I've seen so many women like, what is this? Like, uh-huh. why is this happening? What the hell is this? And why didn't anybody tell me? Like, why nobody yes. told me?
Why didn't anybody tell me?
No warning. It's like, bam, here you go. Live your life. Like, no, I can't because I'm like overwhelmed with all this craziness.
Yes. Uh-huh. Right. It's like, how do I even get through the like quote unquote symptoms before I get to the place where I can live my life? Yes. And I'm so curious, like when you tell us your origin story, I want to hear that, like how you got there, because I know, like I've heard you talk a lot about it and you're just like, yeah, I was like overwhelmed and all these things were like, it just felt like it was all happening to me. And you're like, and then I took ownership over that shit and I just like moved through it. And I'm like, right. So what's that part?
Right.
How'd you get there? And tell us about that. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Well, okay. I want to stop for just a second and hear from our sponsor and then we'll dive in to all the deets.
Today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at Pact Apparel. Now, I love Pact. If you haven't heard of them, they are on a mission to become Earth's favorite clothing company, and they are definitely one of mine. I am currently cozied up in my favorite Pact sweatshirt. It is so comfy and so wonderful. I swear by their maternity nursing tank tops, as well as their maternity undies, things you didn't even know you needed, maternity underwear, right? Well, Pact has got you covered. They have organic cotton cozy clothes for women, men, baby, kids. They even have sheets and towels, y'all. It's amazing. And it's about more than just cozy, awesome clothes. They're really taking care of their workers by partnering with fair trade certified factories to ensure they're both caring for people and for planet. They provide carbon offset shipping and really thoughtful packaging to reduce and minimize that life cycle footprint. Now, they're also being incredibly generous to our Unrefined She community and offering a discount code for your very first purchase. So you can get 20% off at wearpact.com with the code unrefined20. That's wearpact, WEARPACT.com with code unrefined20.
Okay, she's, if you've been listening for a while, you know how much I love CBD. Stressed? Take some CBD. Sore muscles? CBD, of course. Liz and I personally use CBD in our daily lives and have seen CBD help our clients with pain, anxiety, period cramps, and more, which is why we are so happy to partner with our friends at Rockin' Roots Farm. Rockin' Roots is a family-run farm and herbal medicine brand. John and Candace, owners and farmers at Rockin' Roots, pride themselves in supporting the community and planet through regenerative agriculture, education programs, and affordable access to beyond organic produce, CBD, and herbal health products. We love Rockin' Roots, and we know you will too. Shop their CBD and herbal products at www.rockinrootsfarm.com and select Unrefined She from the drop-down menu as your affiliate at checkout. Okay, so tell us your origin story. I always start with the origin story. Like, tell us, you know, as much or as little as you'd like, but like, how'd you get here?
Yeah, right. How the hell did I get here? Yeah. It was like, so my story begins at the age of 39. You said you're almost 38. Mine was 39. I turned 39 and like a switch went on and I woke up the next day, like literally drenched, soaked and wet. Mm. And I was like, did one of the kids come in here and pee in the bed and break out? Like what's happening? And
then,
you know, my birthday's in the summer. Right. Uh-huh. You know, it's possible. Uh-huh. But it's in the summer. So I'm like, maybe I just got overheated. You know, it's summertime. Sure. Uh-huh. And I'm like, yeah, it's probably that. And then it just kept happening every morning. I was like, what the hell? Like, what is this? Like, no, I'm 39. I just turned 39. Like, no. And you know, I'm an OBGYN. So obviously I know about menopause, but it's like, you know, most of like other women, it's like, yeah, that happens that, you know, I got time, 50s, you know, right. Late 40s, 50s. And yeah, totally denial, right? So, but then, you know, this went on for a few months and I got pregnant. So if anyone's wondering if you can get pregnant during perimenopause, you can. So I had got pregnant with my third child. Right? Uh-huh. So after having my son, probably about 7 months afterwards, and after I stopped breastfeeding also, and the night sweats came back with a vengeance. Mm. My mood was like, my husband was looking at me like, are you okay? Like, no, I'm not. I'm not okay. I'm mm-hmm. not okay. Mm-hmm. Acne like crazy, and just exhausted. Like, I'm like struggling to, you know, get up in the I'm pissed off getting up in the morning because I'm soaking wet and uh-huh. cold because uh-huh. I'm soaking wet and sweaty and disgusting. So I now have to go take a shower, which takes time on me to go pick up, you know, get the kids ready for school or daycare or whatever. Like, it's just my day started like crap every yeah. day, like uh-huh. just total crap. Not feeling myself, like really not even recognizing myself because I'm usually this very like, hey, how you doing? Like joyful all the time person. And it was getting to a point where I was not happy at home And then at work, like seeing patients in the office, it was like, I'm like known as like the LOL doctor. I'm always laughing. If you haven't noticed, I'm always laughing. All right.
I love that. Yeah.
And it was getting to a point like, Dr. Ballard, we didn't hear you laughing in the room. Are you okay? Like it was to that point. And like, I remember sitting in one of the patient's room, like talking to a patient, and I'm usually very engaged. And there's always like a girlfriend chat, like, hey, how you doing? And it was to a point, it was days I was like, I don't really want to be here. Mm-hmm. I just want to see what you got going on, fix it, and leave out the room. Because I don't want to be here. I want to go back home and just do nothing. So it was really affecting me all the way around. And at the same time, I also, like, not that I, you know, I would still love seeing my patients in the office, but I felt like I needed to make more of an impact, especially in this menopause space, because there were so many women like confused, surprised, and this conversation is just not really talked about. So I really wanted to do more, but I didn't know what that more was, because again, I was just so overwhelmed with everything else going on with me. I really need to kind of address that first. So I just broke down. Like I was home and I broke down in tears, like to my husband, like, I can't do this anymore. Like I have to do something. Like this is really affecting me. I'm snapping at the children, like I'm, you know, snapping at him. Sometimes he deserves it, you know. You know, they deserve it, like sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was really, you know, it really got to a point where like, I can't do this anymore. I can't keep going like this. So I took a pause. I had to reset, and really focus and give myself permission to focus on me, because as a woman, as a mom, you are always like trying to do everything for everybody all the time and really put yourself last on everything. So I really came to the realization, like you can't go on like that. Cause basically I'm running on fumes, like literally running mm-hmm. on, like barely surviving. And I had to get to a point where, yeah, I can't keep this up. And I was on blood pressure, but I was like, it was like a whole lot going on. So I wanted to feel healthier. I wanted to look healthier, feel healthier, and just feel like reclaim my joy. So I took a pause and gave myself permission to really take care of me and put myself at the top of priority list. And you know, self-care, just really delve into that and got myself to the other side. And now I'm the menopause mogul and I want to make everybody else the same.
Yes. Okay. How'd you get to the other side? Because that is like, I resonate so hard with what you're saying. I'm like, man, when I snap at my kid, and it's like changed. It's been in the last couple of months and like, snap at him. I just like, don't have the patience that I did before. And I'm like, he's still so freaking cute. And I'm still just like, gah, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm like, how do I not do that?
Right. Right. Exactly. So yeah, there's a couple of things. And this is what I also incorporated into my program. You know, I changed my diet. That was one thing. Like, you know, I was like, yeah, I need to eat healthier, but what does that really mean?
Right.
And then, you know, plant-based diet, like, ooh, plant-based, but I'm like, I like chicken. Like, I don't want to eat plants. I like, you know, I don't want to be vegetarian. Right. So I really focused on just eating more plants. Mm-hmm. I still got my chicken, but I just ate more plants. So I really like incorporated more, you know, fruits and veggies into my diet. Because I also think just in general with our hormones, our gut health makes a big difference. You know, the balance of our hormones starts in our, you know, also is in our gut health. So really focusing on putting things in my body that serve me well to serve my gut environment, I think also helped. Exercise. You mentioned my reel today on Instagram. Like exercise had, honestly, I mean, that has really saved me, especially with my night sweats. Cause when I fall off and not exercise, those night sweats come right back. They're like, hey, we still here. Just in case you forgot, we still come back if you don't, you know, do what you're supposed to do.
So why is that? Like, what's the correlation there? Like if you just sweat in the day, you don't have any sweat at night.
Yeah, right. I know that would be great. A great conclusion, but it's really not. There's really no scientific thing to explain it. You know, I think obviously like the release of endorphins, the, you know, there's the stress hormone cortisol, you know, decreasing that, I think all that kind of comes into play. So when you kind of do all that, that suppresses the exacerbation of the stressors that's happening due to the menopausal symptoms. So somehow that, you know, correlates, but there's no like scientific, like, oh yeah, this cell acts up, you know, it activates this cell or enzymes, and that's why it will, you know, decrease your night sweat. So it's really no scientific reason, but it makes a difference.
Yeah. There's no scientific correlation because there's not enough research done, or because like it's, you know, it's like a, like perimenopause symptoms are kind of just like, eh. Right,
exactly. Yeah, a little bit of both of that.
Okay.
Because I honestly think there really has to be more research in regards to just perimenopause and menopause in general. So definitely that's definitely needed. I mean, yeah, there has been studies out there to potentially say that exercise, you know, potentially help. They, again, they don't have like a, you know, the why it actually helps. You know, they say that it potentially can, but there's no, like, again, no scientific, you know, pathway in the body to say like, you know, exactly explain why it actually can help or whatever. So, but I think it definitely, the research certainly should, you know, need to be increased just right. to kind of, you know, get to that, because there's, you know, there's so many symptoms, you know, just in general with perimenopause. It's like, you know, there's over 10 symptoms. Like, it's crazy. Right. Like the whole, so many symptoms, there's so many receptors for estrogen in our bodies. Like, so everything can be affected. So I think research, you know, definitely, you know, the research definitely needs to be increased to kind of figure out, you know, and navigate what's what, to, you know, kind of give women more guidance into that.
Yeah. So correct me if this is wrong, but I was reading that perimenopause wasn't actually a designated thing until like 1996, before it was thought of perimenopause was just like menopause. Actually, that's kind of unclear, but like it seems like it's a really recent like designation of a quote unquote diagnosis. Is that accurate?
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, that is accurate. And it's funny because even in medical school and my medical training, like I don't even remember talking about perimenopause.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And menopause was mentioned, but there was still not a lot of education around it.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, so yeah, perimenopause is certainly a newer term. And a newer, you know, thing in regards to that. Cause, you know, everybody, you know, kind of know like, oh yeah, menopause is, you know, this is menopause, but perimenopause, most people are like, what the hell is that?
What,
like,
is that? Yeah.
What's perimenopause? Like, what is that?
What is that? And it sounds horrible.
Right.
Do I have to?
Exactly. Can I skip that part?
Yeah, like, come on. Oh, man. So can you walk us through the difference between perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause?
Yes. So peri meaning around menopause. Let me first go with menopause first.
Okay.
Menopause is when a woman stops having periods for 12 consecutive months. No period, no bleeding whatsoever. That is when someone hits menopause. Perimenopause, meaning around menopause, is the time where the cycles, the period cycles, actually change, and they start to get menopausal symptoms. So the hot flashes, the night sweats, the mood swings, the irritability. Some get, you know, some anxiety, some depression. So all those menopausal symptoms that can happen in menopause can certainly start in perimenopause. And the age of perimenopause can start as early as late 30s, 39, 38. The average age of menopause is usually around 50 to 51, but again, some women can start earlier, some people can start a little later. But perimenopause is the transition, essentially, the transition period leading into menopause. And then the year after menopause and beyond, that's considered postmenopause. So the menopausal symptoms can continue throughout that point. Obviously, the periods have stopped at that point, but the symptoms can potentially continue. And depending on which symptoms that you have, they usually kind of, decrease as far as intensity as you get further out into postmenopause. for some women. Some of them are still like, okay, this is still going strong. Mm-hmm. So really, you know, every woman's journey can be a little bit different. But yeah, that's kind of the, you know, the gist of, you know, and that transition from perimenopause to menopause can also be different for everybody. The average is about 4 years, but it can be anywhere from 2 to 10 years in perimenopause until you reach menopause.
Wow. 10 years. 10 years of this.
I know, right? It's like, really? 10?
It's going to make us stronger, right? Like, yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. Right. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God. So what is happening hormonally then? Because like we were talking about before I hit record, I know what's happening to my hormones when I am menstruating, like during my whole menstruation cycle. But like, what the heck is happening to my hormones? And also, like, when I'm menopausal, when a person's menopausal, or like when they're postmenopause, right, what's daily, what is the hormonal rhythm then?
Right.
Daily.
Right. Right.
Right. Like, they so do something.
So perimenopause. So when a woman hits perimenopause, so I have this chart that I typically, when I do presentations, I have this this picture that has, like, you know, the rhythm of the estrogen, progesterone. So if you can think back puberty wise, our bodies are trying to figure itself out. So there's a lot of kind of up and down with hormones at that point during puberty. And then once we kind of, you know, ease into after puberty into reproductive years, things are kind of steady. Things are, you know, our menstrual cycles are fine and they're normal. Then we reach perimenopause. That roller coaster ride comes back like hell, mm-hmm. basically. So your hormones essentially kind of goes on this roller coaster ride, mostly estrogen. So, and it's basically leading into the menopausal time when the hormones essentially, I call them like a valley. So you're on the, you know, hills and valleys essentially. So in menopause, the hormones are in the valley. They're all low and that's where they stay. They don't, there's no up and down. They just kind of stay in the low range. And perimenopause is mostly, especially estrogen, well, progesterone and testosterone, they're actually kind of decreasing gradually kind of towards menopause. Estrogen decreases on a roller coaster ride, basically. It's kind of up and down. It's high one day, low one day. It's up in a couple hours and it's down in a couple hours, you know, hours later. So again, it's basically on this sporadic, crazy cycle where it's kind of all over the place while your other hormones are kind of just gradually going towards that valley while your estrogen is like, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do.
She is doing whatever she wants. She's all
whatever
over the place.
Yep. I want to do. I'm just going to do that. So that's why you get, you know, just kind of, you know, the mood highs and lows, you know, that affects our, you know, the hot flashes, the night sweats, all those things, our mental health, acne, like all that kind of that up and down, the, you know, all that triggers those symptoms. And then once we reach, you know, menopause into postmenopause, they all kind of live in the valley and that's where they live. They don't really, you know, and you have whatever you have then, that's what you got. You don't get anything else.
So they like flatline. You just get like this flatline. Oh, shoot.
Yeah, if you put it that way, a little bit, yeah. But I want women to know, like, this is what your body wants. That's what it's supposed to do. Like, that's right. What our natural, it's a natural, even though it does not feel natural, but it's what our body wants to naturally do. Our body is supposed to go into these non-reproductive years and live in this valley, and we're supposed to thrive when our hormones are flatlined.
Oh, shit. So, okay, because, and correct me if I'm wrong, men's hormonal cycles, they have the rise of testosterone in the morning, and then it just slowly decreases throughout the day, and then they get that rise of testosterone every morning. But not women. When we're in menopause, like, it's just the steady low place.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Huh. Right. I mean, we get estrogen, you know, from a little bit of estrogen from other Our adrenal glands give us a little bit of estrogen, and then our fat cells in our body also give a little bit of estrogen. So there's a little bit that's kind of, you know, given, you know, in little spurts. But from our main source, as far as our ovaries are concerned, yeah, ovaries are like, yeah, we done.
We're done.
We tired.
Yeah.
We did our job, and now you be you.
Yeah. Good luck. Oh man. So, okay. So for people who are out there listening and they're just like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? Or, and let me even back it up. When I first found out I was kind of going through perimenopause, this was just a couple of months ago. I had some blood work done and my doctor was like, let's get you on birth control. And I was like, I don't want to go on birth control. I haven't been on birth control in years, like trying not to do that. But like in my conversations since then with women, I've had a lot of different people say like, okay, I'm either going on like progesterone or this, or, you know, some type of like hormone augmentation. Like what are your thoughts on that? I mean, obviously you're not giving medical advice, but like, you know, how could people navigate that? Or for people who are listening and they're like totally freaked out about like hitting their 40s and just being like, then what? like how to move forward and feel like, you know, empowered in your body and still have energy and still like be thriving, like thoughts on that.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously if you need birth control, you get on birth control, right?
Sure.
Like if you need that, if you don't have any, if you can't get your partner to do what they need to do, or if, you know, whatever. So if you need birth control, definitely do what you need to do in that regards. But as far as just the, you know, kind of being proactive, or if you start to have symptoms, what can you potentially do? Let me be honest. In the beginning of my career, I mean, and then from what I've been taught, like, yeah, just give them some hormones, they'll be fine, you know, do that.
Right.
But as I went through my own journey and really had evolved in, you know, my career, I really realized like, okay, I can give them hormones. However, how long are you going to be on hormones? Like, you going to be on hormones forever? Like, I don't want to do that. Like, you probably shouldn't do that. Right. So I really, you know, for myself, and I was on birth control pills for years before I had children, and I didn't want to go back on it because I can't remember taking a pill every day. Like,
No.
I don't want to if I don't have to. So I really encourage women, you know, in the office and also now, really kind of looking at things that potentially can exacerbate or intensify our symptoms. Looking at, you know, what you're eating, looking at how much activity you're doing as far as moving your body, looking at your relationships with other people, with yourself. Like, are you loving on yourself? Like, are you taking, like, really putting the self-care into your daily routine? And just also just, you know, preventive health just in general, are you doing the things that are serving you well? So really looking at, because I feel like hormones is really kind of a temporary thing, right? Because like I said, our body wants to go in our heart, where our hormones are going to be living in the valley anyway. So you give you hormones now, like, yeah, sure, that's fine now, but you're gonna have to get off of it eventually. But if you're doing other things that's intensifying your symptoms, like eating a bad diet, not doing anything as far as exercise, not taking care of yourself, when you get off those hormones, you can be back in the same situation you were before.
Right.
So if you put in those strategies now, or put it in the mindset where I can, you know, kind of listen to my body and like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have ate that. I probably, you know, should do a little bit more of that. And really kind of take control of those lifestyle things. You potentially can just avoid taking hormones altogether and just really feel good within yourself, you know, from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, I noticed that if I eat gluten, then I get very agitated. And so I've had to really, I mean, I was already kind of limiting my gluten intake anyway for various other reasons, because right. I knew it kind of affected my period to begin with. But like in the last couple of months, oh my God. And it's like the package of challenging symptoms that come with your period are just like last forever if I eat right. some gluten. And I'm just like, damn, okay.
Right.
Got that
right.
message.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Because at times we have to like relearn ourselves, right? Like,
yes.
You know, that didn't really happen before, but now I'm like, oh, really? like for me, it was like, you know, I can eat like, you know, a cookie or whatever and be whatever. And that was like, acne's like ping, ping, ping all over your face. Like,
totally.
You shouldn't have ate that. Like, you know, but back in my 20s and 30s, that ain't happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like cookie, maybe two. Yeah, I know. Totally. And it's like, yeah, then you have to weigh whether it's worth it. You're sitting there holding this cookie. Like, is it worth it? Because I know. Right. I know what's coming. I'm going to be a bitch. I'm going to have zits everywhere. Like,
Right. Exactly.
And sometimes it's like, I'm going to eat this cookie anyway. I don't really care.
Right. Yeah, you do have those days. Like, you know what? I'm just going to eat the damn cookie and just, you know, be done and it'll be fine later.
Uh-huh. Y'all going to have to deal, but that's okay. I'm going to have this cookie right now.
Right.
Oh, man.
But yeah, we really have to, you know, relearn some things like our body, what we could tolerate before. When we get over, you know, into our 40s, we can't tolerate, like, it's different. It's just different. Our body is changing, and that's what it does.
Yeah, it's totally different. Okay. Are you seeing women enter perimenopause and menopause earlier? Like you said, like you were 39, I'm 38. Like, I was always told that it was going to be like later in, you know, like 45, 50, like that's when the hot flashes come. And like, that's when everything, you know, kind of goes downhill. And I'm just like, okay. And first of all, like that is not a really empowering way to look at what is a natural shift happening in our bodies. Right.
Yes. Right.
But I do feel like it's happening early. I've been reading some that, you know, there are signs that it's like happening early for certain women. And like, I also had my period way early. I started when I was 9. You know, are you seeing that more? Is there a correlation there? Like, thoughts on that? Any research? Any data?
Right. I don't have any data per se. And just in my clinical experience, I would probably say there has been a little bit of a shift in regards to seeing it a little earlier for women. And I also wonder if, you know, as we're kind of, you know, getting more, well, as I have increasing the conversation around it just in general and asking the questions, because I think there's a lot of times there are women who are out there who are experiencing things and not really saying anything. Mm-hmm. So when you ask the question, like, oh, yeah, I've been experiencing that. So we're noticing it more because I'm actually having them verbalize it as opposed to them, like, you know, in the corner, like, I don't know what this is, but I'm just going to go with it and just live my life the best way I can.
Uh-huh.
But I don't really have any data to say, like, you know, that's really something that's, you know, kind of happening, you know, worldwide. But I think just having more conversations around it and really women, you know, recognizing that this potentially can be perimenopause, I think, you know, something that I've noticed. So, yeah.
And I think that there, like you're saying, I mean, there's so little conversation around it. And one of the things I love about your book is you're talking about like how, you know, our moms had these conversations with us about our period, but nobody's telling us about like what happens after our period stops.
Exactly. It's like crickets. Like,
yes,
you have your period, you have your baby, and everyone has like so much to say and so much advice. And then after that, it's like, good luck. Yeah.
Like, you got this. You're good, right? Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. And so many of those people are like dealing with the same thing. Like I was talking to my mother-in-law about it and she was like, oh yeah, like that was never a conversation that we had. I didn't even know what perimenopause was. And like, you know, and just like working crazy hours, like especially with that generation who's just like, you do your 9 to 5, the kids are all, I mean, I know our generation does that too, but it's like, there's just,
right.
It was so taboo to have those conversations. Like it was so taboo to have conversations about your period and even birth and breastfeeding. And I mean, just all of those things. And so Yeah, I mean, I really do think there is so much of a lack of conversation around it. Even when I started just searching for people who were talking about perimenopause and menopause, even on the gram, you know, and that's how I found you. And I was just like, yes, okay, fine. There's like, but there's not a lot of people out there talking about it.
Right.
And and I think part of that, you know, has to do with the transition, the development of social media and how, you know, our generation kind of went through like pregnancy, birth, there's a lot of empowerment around that, like taking birth back. And now it's like, we're all kind of starting to inch our way into perimenopause. Yes. And menopause. And we're like, okay, who's exactly talking about this?
Right. Exactly. We're all getting older. Like, okay, can somebody help me during
help
this?
Me.
Like, who can help me? Who can help me as I'm going through this? Like, what is this? No, somebody needs to talk about this now.
Yes, totally. Yeah. So definitely you're like ahead of the curve. Like, that's so great. So talk to us about your book. Okay. So your book, Loving Me, Myself and Her Through Perimenopause and Beyond. And the principles are, I love this so much. I have to read these off. The principles of this are, loving me is defined by loving who you are, the person you look at in the mirror every day. Loving myself is defined by loving what I stand for and what I am becoming. And loving her is simply showing love and respect for your vagina. Amen. And loving yourself through it all, the glowing beads of sweat, the love handles, and the vagina that needs extra loving. Definitely going to order this book. So tell us about your book. Talk to us about all of that.
Yes. Thank you for bringing it up.
Yes.
So yeah, I mentioned my journey, just my journey through as I started my own symptoms. And I really had a lot of women just like, what can I read? Like, what? I don't know what to read. Like, what is this going on? And you know, at the time, I didn't really have a book that I like, because I really like to suggest to my patients like things that I like or things that I would suggest to my mom or my sisters. And I didn't really have like someone like, yeah, do this. And I'm like, maybe I should write my own book.
Yes.
Maybe I should write it myself. So I did eventually. And so I really wanted to provide a resource for women, just a simple guide for them to be more educated around it. And so they can actually have some information. So when they go to their own doctors, not, you know, besides me, so they can ask the questions that they potentially can ask, and then also have options to, you know, so they'd be aware of. So if they wanted to try something, they can like, well, maybe if I can try this and mention to their doctor if they're not seeing me as, you know, as a GYN. And then also, I included affirmations in there because I felt that helped me as I was going through my journey, really kind of having a good relationship with myself. Like the self-talk made such a difference, like, you know, putting just really positive energy, positive words into your mind and into your spirit. I think that really helps women as they're going through this transition. So I really wanted to add that to the book. And then the her part, like, you know, vagina, 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 like, I have so many women like come to the office, they've been afraid to say vagina. Like, can we just say vagina and empower her and take care of her? Like, we really ignore her until something's wrong with her, right?
Yes.
So I really wanted to also bring light to the vaginal symptoms that can happen during this transition, because a lot of women are surprised by that. Like, I didn't know my vagina can get so dry. Like, what is this about?
So I really wanted
to also encourage women to, you know, be proactive about their vaginal health and doing the things they need to do to keep her active and moisturized.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Seriously, though, it is like, what is going on here? And if you're not talking about it, then it's just like, okay,
right?
Like, exactly. Is this even a thing? You know, you kind of start to question, like, is this even a thing? Like,
right?
Like, you know, am I making this up? Like, did it used to be better?
Right. Exactly. Oh, man. Right. Exactly. So yeah, really just, you know, just being educated, you know, around that, you know, the changes that can happen with the vagina and the urinary symptoms in general, the bladder symptoms that can happen too, like urinary frequency, or just irritation, all that kind of goes along with it. And so, you know, many women are having these symptoms and embarrassed. It's embarrassing, right? Like some of them not even, like, can't even talk to their partners about it. So I really wanted to empower women to, you know, not even have a conversation with their partners, but also their physician so they can be helped. Like, you know, we don't know what to offer you if you're not telling us what's going on. So I really wanted to also kind of encourage that conversation too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so can you give us kind of like a brief synopsis of what is actually happening in the vagina with like the decrease in estrogen? Like, what should people be looking for? How can they, you know, support her? I love that you call it.
Right,
that.
Right. Let's support her. So, right. She needs support. So what's happening in the vagina as far as the estrogen is concerned? So as the estrogen is decreasing, that is actually decreasing the vascularization in the vaginal walls. And it's also changing the pH in the vagina. So that change in pH can also predispose women to having infections during this time. The change in the vascularization, so that means it's less vasculature or less blood flow to the vaginal walls. So that makes it become, you know, drier. So any friction that, you know, whether it's, you know, having sex or, you know, even wiping with toilet paper sometimes, any of those things can irritate that, and it makes it feel very dry, irritated, even burning sometimes, or just presents as, you know, having painful intercourse. So all that combined, you know, that hurts. Like, yeah. So in order to, you know, support that, number one, I wanted to make women aware with as far as the menopausal symptoms in general. Things like hot flashes and night sweats, those things typically get better as women kind of go further out into menopause and postmenopause. The vaginal symptoms, they actually get worse if you don't do anything about them. Yeah, so it's really important to address, if you've had any inkling of something maybe going on, address it earlier rather than later so you won't feel like you're, you know, have to catch up. So, you know, if you're feeling like things are irritated, burning, if you're having pain with intercourse, you need to have a conversation with your, you know, your doctor, your GYN about it to kind of see what's going on. You know, it could be an infection, with, you know, we have to rule that out. But if it's really related to the dryness, really kind of figuring out what avenues you can take to help with that. You know, I mentioned in the book, coconut oil suppositories can potentially be helpful. There's other things that you can order online, as well as a prescription, like a vaginal estrogen is a possibility. So there's different options. So I think a lot of women don't know there's options. Like, I don't,
yeah.
They're like, I guess this is what it is. I got to deal with it. But there's really many options that women can take to, you know, help that vaginal wall be, stay moisturized. And also with sexual health in general, I have in the book, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. So, and what that means is if you're not having, you know, pretty regular sex, you lose that. Having sex actually helps with vascularizing or increasing the blood flow to that region. So if you're not having as much sex, then once you start having sex, it hurts because you haven't had sex in a while. So that's why, and I'm not saying you have to have sex every day now. Like, I know, you know, we moms, we're working, like, we don't got time for that either. But right. If you can do like at least once a week, that would be great. Because it's funny, like some women are like, women come in like, I'm only having sex once a week. I'm like, you're doing good, girl. Like, what?
Yes.
That's actually good. That's fine.
That's good. Okay. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Well, and especially like in lockdown times when we're just like tired of looking at our partners, just like, oh, yeah. Okay, so let me ask a question for folks out there who don't have a partner with a penis.
Yes.
Does using, like, you know, a sex toy of something like, or something like, just for vaginal health in general, like, can you like supplement, I guess? Is that how you say that?
right, exactly. Yeah, I do mention that in the book, supplementation with a sex toy. I totally agree with is definitely a possibility. And also, you know, mention in regards to just, you know, masturbation, like, we also sometimes have to relearn ourselves in our sexual health too. Like, things we liked in our 20s don't really like in our 40s or 50s. So really kind of relearning our bodies too is also very important. So masturbation, sex toys, all that is important for our sexual health and our vaginal health. So yes, I'm wholeheartedly, agree with, if you don't have a partner with the penis, certainly, the use of sex toys come in handy.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Get the book, y'all. That's basically the... Yes. Okay, cool. So, let's see. We've covered so much. I feel like I have a billion more questions to ask you, but since our time is coming to kind of a close here, a couple of things. One, tell, if you had to give one call to action for people listening out here, what would it be?
It would be, ladies, invest in yourself. Invest in the time and invest your time and your energy in yourself. Put yourself on the top of your priority list without feeling guilty. So give yourself permission to do that, because I know personally, you come with this guilt, do that.
Yes.
Do not be afraid to invest in yourself at all times.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Oh, I love that so much. Part of that investment is buying your book.
Yes.
Yes. So where can people continue to learn from you? Where can they get your book? Tell us how to connect to you.
Yes. So you can get my book on my website, an autographed copy of my website, drjoyelle.com. And then as far as connecting with me, if you want to, just chat about what you're going through or you're interested in my program, you can shoot me a DM on IG at Dr. Joyelle or on Facebook at Dr. Joyelle also. And we can chat and, talk about it.
Yes, I love that. We'll put all of that information in the show notes. So if somebody's out there driving or on a walk and you're like, ooh, I got to write that down. I mean, first of all, your name is so memorable and beautiful, but we'll also have it in the show notes. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. I can't even tell you, this conversation has been so wonderful. Is there anything we didn't cover that you want to put out there? Are you feeling pretty good about everything we said?
Yeah, girl, we covered everything. We got.
Yeah, we did.
Covered a whole lot. I think we covered a whole lot.
I mean, you can't really talk the sex toy or top the sex toy conversation. I feel like
you
that's
really
it.
Can't. You really can't. I mean, you really can't. But I also, now that I'm thinking about it, I also want to remember the mental health piece, because I think that also surprises women too. There's a lot of women who are either have a history of anxiety or depression, or have this new anxiety or depression they never had before as they're going through this transition. So I really want to encourage women, if you're having any of that type of thing, that is something that actually also happens and, it's common during the transition. And please talk to your, doctor about that to kind of figure out what you can do to help that piece too.
Yeah. Oh man, that's so important. That is. Thanks for adding that. Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on our show. All of you out there listening, make sure you go follow Dr. Joyelle and connect with her on all the places. Buy her book, check out her program, and we will see y'all next week. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. This was great. This was so much fun.
Yeah, it sure was. All right. There she is, folks. Dr. Joyelle Ballard. What an incredible conversation, right? So go check her out on social. She's at Dr. Joyelle. Her website also is drjoyelle.com. Check out her podcast, Midlife-ish, Slay a Menopause Through Mindful Living, and go buy her book. And then I have a request that if this was powerful or informative for you, or you know somebody in your life who is going through perimenopause and may not even know it, or well into their journey, please pass this on. Liz and I curate these guests for you because we not only, of course, want to learn from them. I mean, I just learned so much from Dr. Ballard, but we want to make this a resource for you and the people in your life. So please pass this episode on. And if you feel so inclined, also go rate and review and subscribe so that you don't miss another incredible episode of Unrefined She. And thank you so much for tuning in. Also want to thank our podcast team. We really couldn't do it without y'all. So thanks, and we'll see you next week.